Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, judgment, justice and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Thank you, Jerry. It is certainly good to be back. We had a great worship service of our own last Sunday morning at David and Kim's place as part of the retreat. We were led in our thoughts around the Lord's Supper by Elias. He did a great job. We appreciate that. In mid-1982, at the age of 35, Larry Walters and his girlfriend Carol purchased 45 8-foot weather balloons and obtained helium tanks from California Toy Time Balloons. They used a forged requisition from his employer, Filmfare Studios, saying the balloons were for a television commercial. On July 2, 1982, Walters attached the balloons to his lawn chair. He filled them with helium, put on a parachute, strapped himself into the chair in the backyard of a home in San Pedro. He took his pellet gun, a CB radio, sandwiches, beer, and a camera. His plan was to cruise at 250 feet, flying over his neighborhood, waving at everybody, and eventually drifting over to the Mojave Desert. When his friends cut the cord that tied his lawn chair to his Jeep, Walter's lawn chair rose at the rate of 1,000 feet per minute to a height of about 16,000 feet, and he was spotted by two commercial airlines, who, by the way, radioed into the control tower. We see a guy in a lawn chair with a pistol flying at 16,000 feet. Control tower probably thought the pilots had been drinking. At first, he did not dare shoot any balloons, fearing that he might unbalance the load and cause himself to fall out. He slowly drifted over Long Beach and crossed the primary flight pattern of the Long Beach Airport. After 45 minutes in the sky, he finally gained enough courage to shoot several balloons, and then he accidentally dropped his pellet gun. He descended slowly until the balloon's dangling cables got caught in the power line, causing a 20-minute blackout in the city of Long Beach. Walter was finally able to climb down to the ground, where the police were anxiously awaiting him. That's a true story. You can Google Larry Walters if you'd like. But would you say that's a wise thing to do? Have you ever done things that perhaps weren't the wisest things in the world? Maybe not to this extreme, but maybe you did something and after you did it, you thought to yourself, you know, I'm going to be wiser next time. I'm going to be wiser next time. Well, you know, God gave us a gift in His holy word that helps us not wait until next time to be wiser, but be wiser this time, so we don't have to go through it next time. And that little book within His holy word is the book of Proverbs. It helps us to think and to use wisdom before we make some of our decisions. You see, the world's motto is live and learn. But one of the primary mottos of the book of Proverbs is learn and live. Why put ourselves through some of those silly mistakes if we don't have to? Why can't we turn to God's Word and see these wise sayings that He gives us to help us avoid all of those problems? You know, as a background to the book of Proverbs, we know, for example, that it was written by Solomon. Solomon was the son of David, the second son of David and Bathsheba. And we remember the stories about David. David and Goliath, David and Bathsheba, David and Uriah the Hittite. And so when King David dies, Solomon is the next in line for the throne. So Solomon became the king of the greatest nation in the world at that time, at the age of 20. Can you imagine being ruled by a king at the age of 20? In this country of ours, we have the minimum age for a president at 35. And how's that been working for us? So God shows up in the vision of this 20-year-old king, and He says to him, I will give you anything that you ask for. What is it that you need from me? And I want us to see what his reply is. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. And I want us to look at verses 7 through 10. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God was pleased that he didn't ask for wealth, that he didn't ask for a lot of wives, that he didn't ask that his enemies be crushed. But he understood the significance and the enormity of this position that he was given, and in order to do the job the way that he knew God wanted him to do it, he asked for only one thing, and that one thing was wisdom. And so we see in 1 Kings chapter 4, turn over there with me, 1 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 29, we see God's response. So God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand of the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Israelite, wiser than Hermon, Kirkol, Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame spread to all surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So we see that God gave him exactly what he'd asked for, but probably even more than he even understood. His wisdom was uncountable. And we see in these Proverbs that they're wise sayings, with wisdom as its gold and instruction as the method of gaining it. And some of these proverbs that we read about take a while for us to fully understand. For example, some hit us right in the face. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We understand what that means. We need to trust the Lord. Don't trust ourselves, our own understanding of a situation, but trust the Lord. But then we get to something like Proverbs 24 and verse 7. It says this, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. See, that's not quite as simple to understand, so we have to think about it for just a minute. And what does that mean? Well, I think that what that tells us when we look at it is our outdoor work, and he was talking to farmers and people that worked out in the fields, their outdoor work was a way to get income. That's how they earned a living. That's how they supported their families. After you get the income, then build your house. Because what is building a house? It's outgo. So before you have money going out, you got to have money coming in first. That's a very wise proverb. But it's put in a way that everyone can understand, but it's put in a way also that we have to stop and think about it. We also see this great wisdom of Solomon being shown to us. Excuse me one second, let me get to where we were. And demonstrated in the story of the two prostitutes. Remember with two infants we see in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 24. I'm going to read just a little part of that. Solomon was asked to settle a dispute because two of these prostitute mothers each had a baby. One of the babies died. And so Solomon was then asked to decide the existing baby's rightful mother, whom she was, because they both claimed to be, this is my child. This is my child. Solomon, King Solomon, who's the rightful mother of this child? So in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 24, this is Solomon's reply. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king, and he gave them an order. Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. When the king gave this ruling, give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is the mother. How did he know? How did he know? How did he know to even make this proclamation to begin with? How did he know what way to use a situation to determine who the rightful mother was? When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had great wisdom from God. From God to administer justice. And there are two things in this story that tell us when we really need wisdom. And the first one is this. We need wisdom when we need to make a choice. Solomon had these two women before him. He had to decide who the rightful mother was. And you know, we need wisdom when we have a fork in the road and we got to make a decision on what we're going to do. And some of the decisions that we need to make are not that simple. But we come across these kinds of decisions many times in our life. Well, how do we know what decision to make? Should I go to this school or that school? Should I take this job or that job? These are things that aren't necessarily right or wrong, but decisions that are going to dramatically affect our lives. We need wisdom when we make those kinds of choices. And the second thing that comes to mind is that we need wisdom when normal rules don't apply. In other words, Solomon was asked to make a decision, and there was really nothing physical to base that decision on. When judges are asked to make rulings to settle disputes, typically they have laws that they can refer to that show them the kind of judgment they should make. There are other cases they can look at. There are precedents that have been made, and so they know how to rule. Solomon didn't have that. There were no witnesses. There was no evidence. There was no DNA testing back in those days. We have some things in our lives that come up where we have to make decisions and normal rules don't apply. So we need great wisdom when these things happen in our lives. And they happen probably more frequently than we think. And when we think about Proverbs, there's something that we need to understand. Proverbs are about how life in general goes, how God designs life to work. But they're not ironclad laws or promises. But they're situation sensitive and context sensitive. They're situation sensitive and they're context sensitive. In fact, the point is you can't use a given proverb whenever you want. There are specific times and specific places to use them. For example, Proverbs 21 and verse 9. Better to live in the corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Now, if you and your wife are arguing about something, that is not the time to pull this proverb out. That was never the intent. What was the intent of this proverb? Better to live on a corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Well, that's reminding us of this. You better make sure that you know the person that you're about to marry. You see, this really is not gender specific, is it? This proverb can apply to either a man or a woman. Because I can tell you from experience, a quarrelsome husband is no piece of cake either. So, a proverb, to take it to heart or to use it with other people, is both situation sensitive. What is the situation that you're talking about? What is the situation that you're involved in? And it's context sensitive. What are you using this proverb for? A proverb is generally true. It's a principle that depends on the right time and the right circumstance. And again, it encompasses how God wants life to be lived. For example, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, what? He will not turn from it, right? Does that happen 100% of the time? No, no. But as God designed life to be, that's the way that it should be. And in most cases, that's the way that it is, but not every one. Proverb is designed to fit the way that God has created life to be. But because of their nature, proverbs can seem to contradict themselves. You ever notice that? Proverbs can contradict themselves. And when we look at our own human proverbs, and we have come up with our own proverbs as well that are not in the Bible, but we see that they're contradictory as well. For example, fill in the blank. Look before you what? Leap before you leap. He who hesitates is what? Lost. So which is it? You see, they contradict themselves. Do we look before we leap, or do we not hesitate? Because if we hesitate, we're actually going to lose out on something. You see, they're contradictory. Here's another one. Absence makes the heart grow what? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Out of sight, out of mind. Which one is it? You see, it depends on the situation and the context. I'll give you a couple of proverbs that we can look at. Proverbs 26 and verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Okay? Very next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. They contradict each other, right? They're saying the opposite thing. So what is the application? It depends on the situation and depends on the context. Because proverbs are based upon sensitivities of both situation and context. So what is wisdom? What is this wisdom that we need to know, we need to have in making decisions? It's defined as knowledge applied. It is not intelligence, although it can include intelligence. And maybe you're like me. I know some very intelligent people who are not very wise. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, we see the writer attributing wisdom to animals, don't we? And consider the what? The ant. You sluggard. Consider the ant and see how he does. See how wise he is in what he does. Wisdom is demonstrated in our lives as we live wisely in God's world. This is his book of wisdom specifically for us. But here's what's really the key for us. The catalyst that sparks the entire building of our foundation of wisdom for our lives is simply this. It's the fear of the Lord. It's reverently looking to God as all-powerful, as our Creator. It's embracing His Word as the source of wisdom for our lives. And that's what wise people do. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Solomon talks about the fear of the Lord 11 times in the book of Proverbs. And until we understand who God is and develop a reverential fear for God, we will not truly have the wisdom that he wants us to have. God is holy, God is just, and God is righteous. We need to understand that is the God that we serve. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples on a mission, and he's telling them that it's not going to go easy for you. Things are going to be difficult. People are going to want to persecute you. They're even going to want to kill you. But this is what he says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, the one who messes with God is not wise, but he's a complete fool. And the wise will live their lives in fear of the Lord, but the fools will not. For the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be applying certain proverbs in certain situations, in certain contexts, to certain events that happen in our lives. And I want to do that to show me and to show you how this little book with these little sayings can really have a very insightful and very important impact on our life. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman calling out to you. But what if wisdom were more than just a literary device? What if wisdom were more than just poetic words in a book? What if wisdom of God was a person that you could know? A person that you could love? A person that you could develop a deep, deep relationship with? What if you had the ultimate guide and the ultimate counselor to help you and help me navigate ourselves through this thing called life? We have such a one. And John tells us about him in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, wisdom, God's wisdom, came to earth in the form of a man. Someone that we can love. Someone that we can have a deep relationship with. Someone who said of himself in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, "The queen of the south will rise at judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here." Something greater than one who had wisdom that was as unmeasurable as the sands of the seashore has come to this earth. And he is Jesus the Christ. He's greater than Solomon. And he said to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. As you and I go through life, sometimes we feel lost, sometimes confused, sometimes unsure, sometimes unclear and perplexed and disoriented and bewildered. But if we are to live wisely in God's world here on earth, I need Jesus. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. If we can help you in your life this morning to go closer to the one that we all need. Wisdom personified. We want to help you with that. So we can help you in any way this morning, whether it be to take on Jesus Christ in baptism or to answer your needs by going to God in prayer. We ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.